I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Could I interest you in a stat, John Lopez?
Dang right you can.
The Texans in their entire history, franchise history, from 2003 to 2018,
okay,
have had six offensive linemen selected to the Pro Bowl.
How many Pro Bowls altogether?
Six. Six total Pro Bowls.
Oh, so I thought you said six players.
Six total Pro Bowls. 2012, Chris Myers. 2013, Dwayne Brown, Chris Myers, and Wade Smith. 2014, Dwayne. 2015, Dwayne. That's six total Pro Bowl selections for offensive linemen.
In the history of the Texans?
In the history of the Texans. Trent Williams, seven Pro Bowl selections by himself.
Yeah, that's all you need to know right there. That's a great stat. So when we're sitting here and people are wondering, who may not know or watch the NFL as closely, what's the big deal about this Trent Williams guy? When it happened a couple of days ago, and you heard me going all in on this, and then you went all in on it, and it's been going on for a couple of days now. That's why this guy is a really, really good player.
I mean, that's a crazy stat there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's incredibly alarming. And, of course, Dwayne went on and made Pro Bowls with Seattle. But as a Texan, he was a three-time Pro Bowler.
Right.
Completely, completely fascinating statistic right there. And more data. And we're not talking about a guy who's been in the league that long, 31 years old. Mm-hmm. Trent Williams still doing his thing. There's fan dilemma, John, because we confessed the other day, much to the dismay of a lot of loopholes, but mm-hmm. we're always going to be honest with you, that we were pulling for the Warriors because it feels like they're underdogs right now.
Yeah.
Mike Meltzer added a different angle to this. I thought it was a little bit silly. I thought Daryl Morey was the only one doing this. But Mike Meltzer is pulling for the Warriors because he wants the Rockets to go down as the biggest threat to the Golden State Warriors. That's about as silly as it gets. We're approaching this dilemma again with the Raptors up 2-1. Are you rooting for the Golden State Warriors again, John Lopez? I'll throw you out there, and then I'll say if I am or not.
I'll let you know. I mean, I didn't expect to be rooting for him the other night, but I sat down, and everybody who's listening knows what I'm talking about. When you're kind of indifferent on a game, you immediately, just organically start kind of pulling for one team to win. I found myself pulling for the Warriors. I was surprised by it myself. So I can't tell you for sure. I mean, part of me kind of like to see Kawhi carry a team as well. But I'll let you know once I sit down, all right? I'll text you.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't go down with that. I'm going for the Warriors.
You know it.
I'm going for the Warriors. Not because of the silly reason that Daryl Morey has been talking about and Mike Meltzer. And I'll tell Daryl this. I mean, yeah. I think it's silly that he even mentions that. Absolutely. I would tell him if I talked to him.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a silly thing because it's a very short-lived thing because.
And what does it even mean?
I mean, it means,
you lost
ever.
Closer.
Like, we talk about Michael Jordan every day. Like, Michael Jordan, last championship he won, 96. It's been 23 years or whatever. How crazy is that? That's his jersey number.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
In case you didn't know, that's something nobody's talking about. Nobody's sitting there saying who the biggest threat was to the Bulls. Like, nobody cares about that. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. But mm-hmm. you know what people are talking about? How great the Bulls were. And even if you were one of those kids, and I found myself doing it often, who would root against Michael Jordan, and you would want the Seattle Sonics to win. You would want Barkley and the Suns to win. You would want Clyde and the Blazers to win. You would want the older Magic Johnson and the Lakers to win. And you would even swallow your dignity and root for the Utah Jazz to win. You still now, 20 years down the line, you feel proud that you got to watch Michael Jordan
exactly.
break your heart and break everyone's heart. Over time, I know it hurts right now because we're in the moment. You don't really appreciate the Warriors because just you don't like the way they go about things, or you don't like the fact that they're your biggest hurdle to a championship. But I can promise you, 20 years from now, when we're talking about the Golden State Warriors, even the biggest of big Rocket fans are going to be sitting there bragging to somebody that they got to watch that. You got to watch this team, regardless of it, how you feel it was built, you got to watch this team go out there and win championships and create a dynasty. Dynasties are the one thing in sports, outside of our personal experiences, mm-hmm. where we brag about getting to watch them and getting to be a part of them.
I totally agree, and I'm sitting here thinking about what Meltzer said this morning, and yeah, you want the Rockets to be the team that lost closer, you know, to a dynasty. That it's not a loser's mentality per se, but it's a juice box mentality. You know, I want a participation ribbon. That's what it is. It's a participation ribbon. Look, you did good showing up. You showed up better than anybody else. You still lost, and nobody's going to hang any banners. Boy, if they do, nobody's going to hang any banners on that. But
that'd be very A&M-ish of them. That'd be Aggie-ish of them.
Is that a drive-by?
No, I'm just saying, putting up banners for like imaginary national championships and stuff. Like, my bad.
They won national championships,
John.
According to national. News services.
John, you can't really be defending those banners, are you?
I mean, I'm not going to defend any banner. I'm just saying it's been chronicled,
John,
by the people who covered the game. Were you there in 1930 or whatever year it was?
Go ahead. I didn't mean to throw you off.
A little drive-by there.
I didn't mean to throw you off.
No, I'm saying it's a participation ribbon mentality. It you know, Meltzer has it. Daryl Morey has been tweeting about it. I just don't get it. I'm going to decide, I'm sure, when I sit down, what team I'm going to cheer for. But whether I cheer for the Warriors or not, you know, in 10 years, I'm still going to be saying, wow, man, that was an incredible run. That was a dynasty that happened, and we were privileged to be able to watch. I'm not going to be saying, man, in 10 years, the Rockets got close twice or three times or whatever the number is. I'm really proud of the Rockets for getting close but losing to the Warriors. I could not be more proud.
It's terrible.
Can you imagine in 10 years if let's fast forward 10 years. I'm hanging out, you know, whatever, at the dock, talking to some guys. I said, hey, man, remember those basketball runs the Warriors on? Dude, did you remember the Rockets? Remember when the Warriors won all those titles? Do you remember the Rockets?
You think Steve Smith, when he's sitting there on the NFL Network set, is like, man, I never got, the Patriots got that Super Bowl,
yeah.
But you know what? We were tied with them before the kicker kicked mm-hmm. it out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
You believe that?
Yeah.
We almost had them. It's stupid, man. Like, it's really silly. We got to stop this.
Let's talk about the great, all those great Super Bowl champions from the late 80s and early 90s. No, let's talk about Steve Tasker and the Bills.
We got to cut this out.
Come
we
on,
really do
Matt.
Gotta stop this. Come we got on. We've got to stop this.
Yeah.
We really do. James Harden's going to get his championship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He'll get it, you know? Dirk Nowitzki had to wait till he was 33. Kevin Garnett had to wait till he was 33. James Harden will get it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not sit here and act like we should be proud because they were the closest to the Warriors. Let's be serious. Let's cut that out. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, having lunch with you. Another fan dilemma. Dallas Keuchel. He's got a one-year, $13 million contract with the Atlanta
Keuchel.
Braves. We thought he was going to get a little bit more bread. However, that's what he gets. The good news for the Astros fans, I know it kind of hurts to see the beard and imagine the beard pitching for another ball club, but the good news, he's not a Yankee. He's not a Twin. So unless Atlanta just puts it together and they have a World Series run, you will not have to root against Dallas Keuchel when he's playing your Houston Astros. So I'm going to ask you, John Lopez, a lot mm-hmm. of people get bitter for no reason when it comes to athletes leaving. Should Astros fans be rooting for the beard when he's an Atlanta Brave?
I mean, I don't think anybody contributed more to the World Series than Dallas Keuchel, not just with how he performed, but what he said to bring in Justin Verlander. I mean, Dallas Keuchel had a big impact on winning, just with his words on bringing in Verlander, and Verlander's going to be here now for a while.
Plus, he was the best guy during the rebuild. He was like mm-hmm. the face of the rebuild. Dallas yeah. Keuchel was probably the best ball player for a certain amount of times during the dark days.
Yeah.
He remained with the squad, always had a little bit of edginess to him that I always respected and I liked. I think you should 100% be rooting for Dallas Keuchel. What is the sweetest defeat you've ever tasted?
Ooh.
The sweetest defeat you've ever tasted as a sports fan, to where you might have lost the game, but you were okay with it and it really didn't hurt you as much as it could. Mine has to be Vince Young, rookie year out there at NRG, when Vince Young, the Vince sanity.
Oh, because you're a Vince fan. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there were a lot of Houstonians that felt the same way about Vince Young. Vince Young would probably be my sweetest taste of defeat.
I think it was a little bit of a backstory here. I went to spring training with Jackie Sherrill. He invited me to go watch the Aggies in spring training in 2012.
How cool is it hanging out with Jackie Sherrill?
He's a legend.
Is he hilarious?
Yeah, I hung out with him yesterday at that Jacob Green.
Oh, wow.
At that Jacob Green thing.
Oh, wow.
That
Jacob
was,
Green, former A&M linebacker. Yeah,
going into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Seattle Seahawk Ring of Honor member.
Yeah, and so he's going into the College Football Hall of Fame, so I emceed their event yesterday, but I was talking
How'd you do?
I think pretty good. We raised some money.
What do you think your grade was as far as your MC skills?
I'm going to have to let others grade that, but I'd say A-.
Okay.
A little bit of a backstory. And longtime listeners of this station will remember this.
Tell me a story, OG.
Thank you. Jackie invited me to watch spring training in 2012 in College Station. There was a quarterback battle going on. Okay. And I remember Jackie bragging about how number two out there might not look like much, and they can't really tell, you know, how good he's going to be because he had the red jersey on. You couldn't, you know, he went down quickly. You couldn't tackle him. So obviously that was Johnny Manziel. The next year, I went to the very first game of the year. It was the very first game in the SEC, and the Aggies are playing mighty Florida. Florida was real strong then.
Remember that?
And I got to get on the sideline, and I was doing the show with Nick Wright, and Johnny, as in his first game ever, damn near pulled that one out.
I remember.
I'll turn up on you, bitch.
I remember exactly where I was. Yeah. I got a call in my apartment at halftime.
Yeah.
It's from someone that you know.
Yeah.
Randy Galloway.
Oh, yeah?
He calls me and goes, Landry, who is that son of a bitch playing quarterback yeah. for Texas A&M?
Yeah.
He's like, I thought you were supposed to be the guy that kept me up to date on these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And this guy is a bad SOB. And I was like, man, he wasn't even supposed to be the starter.
No, Gallo. It was a battle.
It was supposed to be Jokel. And yeah. I was like, I
no,
have
it wasn't Jokel. It was the other guy.
It was Jokel and Showers.
Showers. The other guys. It was Jamel Showers.
Jokel and yeah. Showers were the guys that were competing. And I was like, dude, I don't know. I don't know much about the guy.
Right. Well, I saw him in spring training just from the sideline. I go to that game, and Nick Wright says on the air, so did that break your heart the other day? And I said, I don't know how good this team's going to be, but the Aggies got a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'll turn up on your bitch.
Galloway put me in his column, too, basically calling me out. Yeah. He said, must have dismay of the face of the whiny orange, Landry Locker. I was like, I have no idea.
I'll never forget that. I was like, I don't know how they're going to do, but they got themselves a little quarterback now.
I rooted for Johnny my whole time.
So that would probably be the sweetest defeat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a sweet game.
Yeah.
They almost had that game,
it's a
too.
Hell man. Of a game. They I'll never forget the Florida coach.
Muschamp,
you know, because that was that. I think they didn't have to face him again until like 7 years later.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
still haven't faced him again.
Yeah, Muschamp.
I remember in his press conference, he says, "I'm glad I don't have to face that SOB for 7 years.
I remember
I'll never face him again."
I remember exactly where I was during that game. That was a good one. That was exciting. That's a nice little defeat. That's mm-hmm. I like where your head's at there. Mm-hmm. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, having some lunch. Deshaun Watson, we feel like we got a quarterback here in Houston as well. Should the Texans be following the model that the Eagles laid out yesterday? Do they need to negotiate with Deshaun this time next season? We'll discuss next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.